Luke 6, 12 through 16. Ready? And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was, isn't that amazing? Jesus, God, praying to God the Father. Woo! Y'all don't seem too excited about that. That's fascinating to me. Jesus, God, is praying to God the Father. Amen. All right. And then when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, their brothers, Philip and Bartholomew, and that's another name for him is Nathanael. You might be more familiar with Nathanael. Verse 15, Matthew and Thomas. Everybody knows Thomas, don't we? Shake your head. Yep, yep. Because I've been a Thomas. Amen. All right. Let's see who's next. James, the son of Alphaeus. Simon called Zelotes, or the Zealot. Verse 16, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Of course, that's the list of the 12 apostles. This weekend, our nation pauses to honor labor, to recognize the everyday workers who build, who repair, who serve, who provide. Most of the workers in America are not famous. If you're a famous worker, let me know, okay? Most of the workers in America are not famous. They don't appear in the news or on the headlines of the paper. Yet our country could not function without all those workers. In the same way, the kingdom of God is built not only by those who stand in pulpits, which, by the way, just imagine all the pulpits that are full right now with men of God preaching the word of God. Isn't that exciting? But it's not only about the ones who stand in the pulpit or sing on the platform like our worship team did so well this morning doing, but it's also the faithful servants whose names may never be well known, but they are well used by the Lord. Such our title today is not well known, but well used. Can you say that with me? Ready? Not well known, but well used. Many serve behind the scenes. No one sees them. By the way, they don't want nobody to see them. Amen? But they're happy. They're serving the Lord. But they are seen and honored by God. Aren't you glad of that? That's what I want to get across to you today. Today we're going to look at four disciples of Jesus who lived in the shadow of the big names. You say, preacher, who were the big names? Peter, James, and John, right? And maybe some others that we know stories about. Peter, James, and John were the inner circle. They were the most well-known. But these four disciples that I'm going to mention today, they didn't write books of the Bible. These men also gave up everything to follow Jesus. They left their homes, their jobs, their families. They left their land behind. They left their friends behind. They were ordinary men who at times were full of doubts, confusion, and unbelief. Have you been there? Are there times in your life where you have doubts, confusion, and unbelief? They were just ordinary people, ordinary men. After Jesus went back to heaven, though, something fascinating happened. The Holy Spirit came down and empowered them. And by the way, you got the same Holy Spirit living inside of you if you're saved. Amen? Now, they were very strong. They were very courageous. They performed great miracles. I'm talking about after Jesus went back up to heaven. They preached with boldness. The church exists today because they expanded the gospel to the ends of the earth. They left a legacy. They remind us of some truths we need to remember on this Labor Day weekend. Number one, you can be forgotten by men, but remembered by God. Let's talk about James, the son of Alphaeus. Sometimes he's called James the Less. How would you like to have that nickname? Now, what did that refer? Maybe his stature? He was a short little man. Maybe he was younger in age All the other guys were a little bit older than him, and they said, oh, James the Less. I don't know. How about less known? Maybe he had less influence. I have no idea. Scripture's not clear, so we're really not sure, but at least he got his name in the Bible. Is your name in the Bible? Of course not. I'm just playing, okay? I just want you to think about that. At least his name's in the Bible. That's big. James, the son of Zebedee, remember, he was the prominent James, brother of John, son of Zebedee. So maybe James the Less was just a quiet, young, maybe even a small man that served mostly in the background. If he ever wrote anything, it got lost in history. If he ever asked Jesus any questions, it's not recorded in Scripture. If he ever did anything to stand out from the group, it's not there. Yet God, or Jesus, called him. Does that encourage you today? You don't have to be well known, but you can be well used. He walked with the Lord, and all I know is the Lord selected him for a reason. There was a reason behind it. He was faithful, even if he was forgotten. It could be that James is the brother of Matthew, because y'all remember, Matthew was also referred to as the son of a man named Alphaeus. I don't know if that's the same Alphaeus. Then we don't know for sure. Some even believe that James the Less was Jesus' cousin. All I know is he went quietly, unnoticed, through the Gospels. We don't have to be remembered by man to be rewarded by God. Amen? Say it with me. Ready? We don't have to be remembered by man to be rewarded by God. Many of our folks serve in places that don't get recognition. At this very moment, people are serving in junior church. I'm going to give you their names. I'm going to give them some recognition because they never get it any other time. Amy Lovejoy, Tuesday Craighead, Becky Ballard. Woohoo! Amen? All right, down below, we got the nursery. My wife and Connie, Desmarais. Am I saying that right? Desmarais. I did good, didn't I, Blaze? And Connie's down there with Tanya, and they're loving on those babies. Out in the lobby, Kyle is our security man, along with Jack. Jack's in here, but he's on security today, making sure everything's up and up. Up in the soundboard, look at them boys. Don't fall asleep, boys, all right? Colin, Julius, Dennis, and Christopher. Thank you guys. Doing live stream, doing the videos, doing the sound. You know, they don't normally get recognized. They don't do it for the praise. We don't do that every week. You notice that? We don't recognize all the workers around here every week, but everybody's faithful, doing their job. And also during the week, folks are up here repairing things, preparing for events, shopping for Operation Christmas Child. Prayer warriors are praying. Man, prayer warriors, has your phone been lighting up a lot lately? I mean, it's incredible. All the needs that are in our church right now. People are visiting the sick and shut-ins. Some are making meals for others. There is so much more. I'm going to leave something out. All I know is heaven is keeping a record for every act of service that you do behind the scenes. Number two, God can redeem your past and repurpose your passion. Simon the Zealot, let's talk about him a little bit. His title, Zealot, points to his background as a radical political activist. You heard that term a lot lately? Political activists. They were known for their passion, fiery passion. Many times they were violent outlaws against Rome. They believed that God himself only had the right to rule over the Jews. And they felt like they were doing God's work by killing Roman soldiers, Roman politicians or political leaders, and anyone else that opposed them. They were hoping for the Messiah. They were hoping for a Messiah that would lead them to overthrowing the Romans and restoring the kingdom of Israel. Are y'all with me? A lot of people thought when Jesus came the first time, that was his purpose. No, he came the first time to die on that old rugged cross, amen, and to give us redemption. But a lot of people were expecting him to overthrow the Roman government. These zealots, man, they were patriots ready to die for what they believed in. They were called dagger men. Anybody have a dagger at home? I hope you don't have it with you. They were secret assassins. They had deadly curved daggers they carried in the folds of their robes. They could sneak up behind a Roman soldier or a Roman politician, stab him in the back between the ribs and the heart. I'm telling you, they were zealous in the worst way. How many of y'all have a rough past? You'd admit it. But praise God, look at you today sitting in church. Amen? God is so good. They were zealous in all the worst ways, and many of you, many of us have been zealous in the worst ways. But here we go. Praise God. Somewhere along the line, Simon became a genuine believer in Jesus. And Jesus took that passion and redirected it in spreading the gospel. Isn't God good? Isn't that wonderful? Remarkably, Jesus placed Simon in the same group with Matthew. Y'all remember what Matthew did for a living before he followed Jesus? He was a tax collector. Simon would have hated Matthew, a Jew collecting taxes for the Romans. Matthew was the kind of man that Simon, there's no way they would have got along. But isn't God great that he put brothers in Christ together, working side by side to accomplish the work of the ministry? So I see, oh, Simon, man, he's a man of loyalty. He's going to stand up for you. He's a man of passion. He's got courage and he's got zeal. But now it's devoted to the right one, and that's Jesus Christ. I believe God can take your past. Are you listening? He can take your personality. He can take your mistakes and even use them for God's glory. Amen? Your workplace skills, what you do outside of church, your life experiences, even your scars, God can use them to be a blessing to somebody else here in the church. Don't ever forget that. Well, preacher, you don't know about my past, but I know about your future. It looks bright. Amen? So let's live in the present and say, hey, the past is in the past. I'm pressing on, and I want to serve my Savior till the trumpet blows. Number three, faithfulness matters more than fame. Let's talk about Judas. It's funny. This is Judas, and he's also always referred to, or many times referred to, Judas, not Iscariot. By the way, if my name was Judas, I think I'd put it everywhere, in all the materials everywhere. If my name was Judas Wyatt, I'd say Judas, not Iscariot Wyatt. So I understand that, okay? He actually had three names. How many realize that? His official name was Judas. It means Jehovah leads. Then he had two nicknames. Labius means heart child, and Thaddeus, you're going to love this, boys. Are you ready? It means mama's boy. Woohoo! How many of you would just go ahead and admit you're a mama's boy? Anybody? Okay, I got, oh, Lydia raised Colton's hand for him, okay? I love that. So here's a guy with a tender heart. Oh, Judas, he's got a tender heart. He's hanging around a zealot. Isn't that amazing? The Lord can use both. Man, zealots can make great fiery preachers. But I tell you, who else can make a good preacher is a tender-hearted, compassionate one. God can use everybody the way that he made you. That's so exciting. Now, John 14, turn over there if you would. John 14 records his only words. Wow. Hey, at least his words got in the Bible, right? Look at verse 21. I'm going to give you the context. This is John 14, 21. He that hath or accepts my commandments and keepeth or obeys them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest, just another word for reveal, myself to him. Here he is. Oh, Judas saith unto him. Oh, read the next two words with me. Ready? Not Iscariot. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself? In other words, why are you going to reveal yourself unto us? In other words, why are you going to reveal yourself to us only, and then the rest of the verse, and not unto the world? Why are you going to do it to us and not to everybody? Now, I see a tender-hearted humility in his questioning. Some people are just good at asking questions. And I see that he's genuine concern. He's got humility. He doesn't say anything brash or bold or overconfident like some of the other disciples, right? He just asks, Lord, why aren't you going to make yourself known to everyone? Okay, look at Jesus' response in 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. In other words, he'll do what I say. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode or our home with him. Jesus tells the disciples right here that he will reveal himself to anyone that loves him. In other words, I'm not going to take over the world. I'm going to take over hearts one at a time. How many one day Jesus captured your heart? We love him because he first loved us. And that love captivated our hearts. And when we believed in Jesus and accepted him as our personal Savior, the Spirit immediately entered our heart and bears witness with us that we are children of God. Do you have that peace this morning that the Holy Spirit abides in you? He's made his home in you. I got good news, y'all. The Holy Spirit is a resident in my heart and he will not depart. Woo! Every one of us can say that. Now, as I yield to the Spirit and I love God's Word and pray and obey, I can have a deeper relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Salvation means that we're going to heaven, right? But submission means heaven is coming down to us as I submit to His control. It's all about a relationship. I talked about that some last week. All right, to us, we know Judas only for this brief moment. That's the only time he's referred or says anything in Scripture. But to Jesus, Judas was fully known. God values sincerity over notoriety. You know, it's not about fame, y'all. It's not about being famous. It's about being faithful. You may never trend on social media. That's the big thing now, right? Your video may not go viral. I don't even know really what that means. I think that just a lot of views, is that right? And it goes viral, all right? Your name may not be up in lights, but you can walk closely with the Lord. God values a humble servant who seeks to know him above all else. So important. Number four, faithfulness in the shadows prepares you for God's opportunities. I got one more. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Okay, the person I'm referring to is Matthias. After Judas Iscariot's betrayal and his death, the apostles prayed and they were seeking God's guidance for a replacement. Let's start in Acts chapter 1, 21. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time. In other words, these men have been with them the entire time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. In other words, he spent time with them, had company with them. Verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, the ascension, okay, after his resurrection, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed or nominated two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justice, let's just call him Justice, and the other was Matthias. Verse 24, and they prayed, said, Lord, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men. How many believe God knows every heart? Well, a couple of you do, all right. Which one of these do you want, Lord, to take Judas's place? That's what they're praying. Of these two have been chosen, verse 25, that he may take part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. What are the disciples praying? Judas is where he belongs in Hades, but we got to find somebody to replace him. Verse 26, and they cast forth lots or gave forth lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Isn't this a unique story? How many have ever heard the name Matthias? How many had forgotten? Oh, yeah, that's the one that replaced Judas Iscariot. He had been there all along, faithfully following, but maybe in the background. He wasn't one of the 12, but yet he followed Jesus. But after being chosen, I got some terrible news. Are you ready? We never hear about him again. Nothing's ever written. Yet his faithfulness in the shadows prepared him when God needed him. So your faithfulness behind the scenes, you just stay right there. And when God needs you for a special purpose or an opportunity comes up, guess who he's going to be calling? Someone that's been faithful to him. That's the way it works. Now, in eternity, I firmly believe this. Are you ready? Matthias and the other 11 apostles will get a full reward. During the millennium, they will be seated on thrones judging Israel. It's going to be an awesome time. They're going to have some type of unique authority exercised under the rule of King Jesus. Can I hear an amen right there? And in the New Jerusalem, this is even amazing. On the very foundations of God's eternal city, their names will be inscribed. Some people think, oh, Judas is not going to be there for sure. Iscariot, Judas, he's not. So Paul's going to be there. Nope, I think it's going to be Matthias. Paul doesn't meet the qualifications to be an apostle, but Matthias does. And so, now, he was a God-ordained apostle later, but I'm just talking about back in the Gospels. Paul comes on the scene in Acts. So what my point is, Matthias is going to be one of those 12 foundation. His name's going to be inscribed in that. Now, remember on the earth, these 12 apostles were despised. They were persecuted. Many of them martyred. They were killed. But in the God's kingdom one day, boy, they're going to get publicly rewarded. All the things they did behind the scenes, they are finally going to be honored and recognized in glory, in front of everybody. So what can we learn from these guys today? What wonderful examples they are for us on this Labor Day weekend. Now, let me just sidestep, and I got to talk about this guy. What about Justus? He didn't get chosen. How many believe he was qualified? Pastor Earl's got his hand up. Thank you, Pastor Earl. He was nominated, but he didn't get picked. You ever been nominated for something and you didn't get voted in? It happens. He was qualified. He had walked with Jesus from John's baptism all the way through the resurrection. He was faithful. He was steady. He was spiritually mature. They never would have put him up as a nominee. He had the resume, but he wasn't chosen. What does that tell me? Sometimes God's call isn't just about the qualifications alone. It's about the sovereignty of God and his plan for each and every one of us. So let me remind you, rejection does not mean failure. Was Justus a failure because he didn't get picked that day? No. And the times that you've been rejected does not mean failure. He simply wasn't the one that God selected. That doesn't mean, oh man, he wasted all them years following Jesus. No, 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 no. Just because you're not famous doesn't mean you've wasted all these years serving Jesus. Isn't he worth it? Anything you do for him, it's worth it. He was just an unsung servant. His faithfulness still mattered deeply to the Lord, even if he never became one of the 12. So I just had to throw that in there. How many feel bad for Justus, all right? Well, don't feel bad for him anymore. God will take care of all that because he saw Justus all along. Number 5, God sees our service. I'm applying it to you now, even when others don't. You say, preacher, I never get recognized. You never call my name out from the pulpit. You never give me a pat on the back. And I try to be as encouraging as I can, but many times I may not do as well in that department. And I'm sorry about that. But I want to remind you, whether I see your service or not, God sees it. He's keeping a record. and He will reward us. So I just want to encourage you today on this Labor Day weekend, read this verse with me, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Ready? Therefore, my beloved brethren, let's add sister in too, ready? Be ye steadfast. That means strong, unmovable, always abounding. Be enthusiastic in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's that mean? Nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Keep on serving Him. This church needs countless faithful servants whose names most people won't even remember. Not everyone's going to be in the spotlight. Not every faithful believer is going to be chosen for the role that they wanted or that they hoped for. But every act of obedience, every season of quiet service is seen and rewarded by the Lord. He sees our service even when others don't. The world notices the loud. Are you with me? The world notices the talented. The world notices the famous. But I'm telling you, God notices the faithful. This Labor Day weekend, America honors those who work in factories and offices and schools, even at their homes. But let's also remember those who labor for the Lord in unseen places. Let me just give you a review. James shows us you can be forgotten by men, but remembered by God. Simon shows us, Simon the Zealot. God can redeem your past and repurpose your passion. Judas shows us faithfulness matters more than fame. Matthias shows us faithfulness in the shadows prepares you for God's opportunities. And then Judas shows us to keep serving even when we're not selected. And then the bottom line is God sees your service even when others don't. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You may not be well known, but you can be well used. I want everybody listening, don't get distracted. Are you ready for this statement? Ready? Right here. One day, the one who truly matters may say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's better than the preacher recognizing you. That's better than your boss giving you an award. Woo, one day in glory. Wouldn't you love to hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord Jesus, I want to praise you. You want to use us. And you see everything we do for you. You allow us the privilege to serve you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be honored in our service. Those that are up here on the platform, those that teach, those that are up in front of people, and those that are doing stuff around here that nobody ever sees. Lord, thank you for their service. Thank you for what they mean to you and what they mean to our church. And Lord, help us to remember that this weekend. Many are going to have a day off tomorrow, but I pray that we would be more concerned about serving you than serving our bosses. And Lord, just to relish in the fact that one day we're going to stand before you and our desire is to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.